And we are underway. It is Tech Talk, and a big thanks to Doug Swinhart for joining us for the entire hour. Lindsey Brown is our producer, and as always, your calls and your texts are number one on this show, and you can call 651-461-9226, or you can text, and we'll get you right on the air. If you call in, you'll visit with Lindsey. She'll put you through. If you text, that comes right into the studio. We'll get you on the air. Doug, how you been?
Oh, wonderful, my man. You know, this weather. This morning I was out and I had my garage door open, raining, but it was really, really nice. Nice and cool. So, great. We got good rain, though.
Yeah. Rain has not been a problem. And as I mentioned with Shaletta, we want to remind folks, air quality alert goes into effect at 9 tomorrow morning and continues until 9 Tuesday morning. Once again, smoke, central, east central, west central, north central, actually all of northern Minnesota from 9 Sunday morning until 9 Tuesday. The smoke will be worse up north than it will be here in the cities, but nevertheless, an air quality alert goes into effect tomorrow morning. So enjoy today and tonight, and you want to take it easy. And we've seen a lot of that this summer. Now, Doug, here we are in August, and I have a niece and a nephew headed back to college. One's going to be a senior. One is going to be a sophomore, and I know a lot of other kids are headed off to college. Technology has been a big, big part of it for many, many years. And just a friendly reminder, if you want to help out with a gift to that student in your life, money's good, gift card's good, but you and I over the years have highly recommended one thing. You generally will get a good deal if you work through the school you're attending. You can buy a computer on your own, but I know with both my daughters, when they went off to college, their IT department wanted to get their hands on those machines. There's pretty strict rules for being on a network at a college or a university or a tech school. And many times, if you're going to buy new equipment, working through the school can be some of the better deals.
I have seen people save thousands of dollars. And the big thing, too, is to keep in mind, when you got this many people on a network, the system administrators, they have to coordinate things, and it's much, much simpler if they know your equipment. It really will be so much smoother. And generally, it'll come with the software that's necessary, depending upon your major and that kind of thing. It really is worth checking out. Most colleges go the extra mile, making sure that people have the digital equipment that's needed. So, yeah, I couldn't suggest, really, just go that route for sure. Check it out. You'll be glad you did.
Yeah, and like I say, the deals can be pretty, pretty impressive if
Indeed.
You work through the school. But we brought this up at the holidays. We bring it up at graduation time and back to school time. And I think it is a good, friendly reminder. Very nice. You want to contribute and help out. But you want to make sure the student in your life is very involved and get the stuff they want, that they need. There's a lot of, I mean, keyboards, monitors, batteries, the weight of the machine, etc.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, it's such a personal thing that people really should, in my opinion, touch them and feel them and pick them up and carry them around the store if you have to a little bit. Keyboard, mouse, whether it be a trackpad or whatnot, it really is important that it fits you as an individual. And you're going to have this for a while. If you're starting college 2, 4, 6, 8, who knows how long you'll carry it. But these are the tools of your trade. And you know, if you got the right tool, the job gets easier. Isn't that so, Steve?
Yeah, for sure. So once again, good luck for everyone heading back to school. Another thing I wanted to bring up, and we haven't talked about it a lot, typically with my Chromebooks and a lot of my computers, I just buy the cheap $6, $7, $8 wired USB mouse. I don't really care that it has a wire. The mouse at my full-time job is a wireless. And then I got this bright idea to try one of those bigger ones that you kind of grab by the side. I don't know if you've seen those.
The ergonomics.
The ergonomic. I tried it for a week, and it drove me insane. I couldn't get used to it. You know what they say, old dogs and new tricks.
Well, you know, I have attempted because, you know, my hands hurt. So, because I moused for 40 years. So, I've tried every one of these. None of them fit. So, you're not alone in this. And thankfully, you know, Amazon has taken it back. I'll bet you in the last 5 years, I bet I've tried 5 or 6 of them minimum.
Yeah.
And I have the same issue. It's like my hand is just around that Logitech, and that's where it's going to stay.
Yeah, and they call them verticals, if you will. And I tried one. I didn't spend a lot of money on it, and I gave it – it just got so frustrating because, you know, once again, I think it does go back to the old saying, old dogs, new tricks. If you're going to try one, I don't know if I'd spend a lot of money. If you want to try the ergonomic vertical mouse, good luck to you. And we'd love to hear from you if you made the switch and made it work.
Some
it didn't
people
work
do.
For me. Yeah.
I think there's more people that come to the end of going, well, it just didn't work. And, you know, I really studied this thing because, like I say, I was having trouble with my hands. It was painful. And apparently this 35-degree is supposed to be perfect with your arm. Oh, that didn't cut it. And then they've got these other devices that you can lay your palm on behind your mouse, and it's supposed to be slight. I didn't do well with that either. You know, some of us are just, we're just here. I could understand, but all mine I bought through Amazon and got them back within a week and put the packages back together and no questions asked. So if you want to test it, that'd be my suggestion.
Yeah, and then the track pads. Well, I'm not a huge.
No, I've never been a fan of track pads. No, not my cup of tea.
it's kind of wild. By the way, if you want to reach the show, is 651-461-9226. 651-461-9226. Doug, here is a good one. Any recommendations for a cloud-to-cloud backup service? If all my Google Drive files are in the cloud, not directly on my computer, is there a device that can back those up so I don't have all my eggs in that Google basket? I think that's a good one. I've always wondered that.
Oh, I think the thing is you should have an external hard drive and at least one cloud storage. That would give you 3 total copies, one on your computer, one on the external hard drive. And, you know, you can put a hard drive together. If you want something really speedy, you can actually buy the new NVMe drive, and you can put it in a little case, and they're small. And you'll spend a little bit more money, but I think you can actually build one cheaper than you can buy one. But then you've got just lickety-split, especially if you've got a USB-C, the smaller USB ports. That's just going to cook. But that'd be the way to go, I think. And I wouldn't – there are so many cloud storage things coming up that this is going to get to be a highly competitive industry. You've got iDrive, which has nothing to do with Apple. They're out of California, do a great job. Well, of course, Proton, I've got 500 gigabytes there. And HP, if you buy a new HP, you get cloud storage, free charge. And, of course, you also get Wolf Security. But this is going to get to be a booming business. I think it's going to actually even put VPN business in the dust, which is, I think, much more important than a VPN, is having that backup.
Yeah, and, you know, Doug, I had always wondered that, you know, when you put a file in your Google Drive folder, for instance, and I think what they were wondering is, can you get another service that would go and grab those drive files as a backup? I'm not sure how that would work and if Google would allow that.
I don't know. That's borderline security issues, I'd say.
Yeah.
I know that you can sync the two of them, but you actually have to manually say, okay. Somebody on the owner has to give approval. I've never heard of anything like that being automatic, and that's what it sounds like they're after.
Yeah. I've also felt, you know, with Google Drive and so on and so forth, we have talked about the strategy. And I don't do it for everything. And I think it's important people don't do it for everything, because there's no reason to store everything or multiple copies of the same photo or anything like that. But if something is really important, I have now with Proton and started playing around with that, I have an old Yahoo account. I have a Gmail account I've used for many years now, and now I have the new Proton account. And what I do is, if it's something really important, that it's a photo, it's a document, or anything I do not want to lose, I will simply attach or forward that to my other private email account. Mm-hmm. And then that way, between the two, I would think between Yahoo and Google and now Proton, I should be golden.
Well, I love that approach. You know, these emails, especially web-based, you've got a cloud storage right there built in already. Yep. And a searchable cloud storage that's really simple to operate and go and find things when you need them. I love that. I love that idea. Absolutely love it.
Yeah, and once again, it's not for everything, but for the things that I really want to make sure I keep track of, and I don't want to lose it, I will do that. So one way or another, between those email accounts, and as you pointed out, having some sort of external hard drive, you keep in a safe place, maybe you got a safe at home, you know, something fireproof, great. But typically, you know, cloud storage, a hard copy, and then, of course, your working copy, as you pointed out over the years. When we come back, a whole lot more. We're going to talk a little bit more early in the show about Privazer, Privazer. It comes up from time to time, and we're just going to get into that. If you have a Windows machine, it is a must-have program, and we'll get into that around the corner. And by the way, jump back to the text line. The number is 651-461-9226. Lindsey Brown is our producer. Doug Swinhart, of course, is here for the entire hour. And we should tell you, all our shows are available at our website in podcast form, WCCO Tech Talk. And we invite you to listen to the show anytime, and download, share it with your friends, etc. It is 319 here at News Talk, 830-WCCO. It is Tech Talk here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. And here's the number you can call, 651-461-9226, or you can text 651-461-9226. And Doug, we had someone that wanted to talk to you about a Linux machine, but they have too much, and they thought they'd just give you a call. And by the way, we'll have Doug's phone number and email later on in the program, but they are on a Linux journey and wanted to talk to you about that. So okay. We'll give you a heads up on that. One thing we want to bring up, and it comes up from time to time, and I think it's fair to say, over the years we've done this show, is there a more important tool for Windows users than Privazer? Privazer. It is free. You can pay and buy the pro version, which is great. But for a Windows machine, this is just an amazing program, isn't it?
The cream de la creme.
Yeah.
It just doesn't get any better than this. I think every Windows user should have this. The job that it does cleaning the temp files and shell bags, and it goes deep. And it does it the first time you run it, it'll take a little while to get your drive all sectioned off, and that's just normal. But then after that, it's just a few minutes. Plus, you can set it up to run automatically. The new version, especially, is really top shelf. You can select drives, you can select how it does when you leave the internet, when you shut your machine down. It's just something that I think everybody should have. And it really is a tremendous, tremendous package. And the fact that it's still considered open source, which is nice, but we got to keep the project going. So by all means, If you enjoy it and you like it and you use it as often as I do, for goodness sake, send them what you can. Don't overdo it. If you think it's worth $50, send them that. If you think, well, of course, I think it's worth $400. I can't afford that. So I generally send them $25 to $30 a year. And it's I know for sure it saved me hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours. I just can't say enough good things about Pervasor. PRIVAZER.com. Go check it out.
Yeah, and you can buy the pro version for $49.
Yeah, you know, well, if you pay the $50, that's really good.
Yeah,
Yeah,
and it is just one of those things where it does such a nice job, and it's so widely praised as well. There aren't a lot of products in the world, a lot of Windows machines out there. Now, don't be trying to download this on your work computer without permission. We brought that up. Once again, work computers are work computers. Follow the rules and keep your private stuff off your work computer. You and I are very adamant about that, that private email, private documents, photos, etc., belong on a private machine. Don't mix that with your work computer. Please.
No. This is one of the largest frustrations for IT professionals that exists. I you know, to coordinate the amount of systems, first of all, I'm sure nearly all of them are working with different types of hardware. It was bought at different times, going to be renewed at different times, different departments want different hardware. And you know, to coordinate that, plus you got 400 employees. Can you imagine what would happen if everybody just started tinkering? And you know, they all mean well, but they're tinkering. Oh my goodness, what a mess this can create. And you'd be surprised how many IT people will say, listen, you can't do that. We gotta work as a team. We gotta be a cohesive unit. And at the least, just give me a call and ask me first. If you get permission, you're golden. That way you can actually write it in his notes that you got this little extra and that little extra. And trust me, his notepad is full. Guaranteed. Yeah, that's good that you brought that up, Steve. Really good.
Yeah, and it's one thing to log on to your private email on a work computer, a web-based email,
sure.
Gmail, Proton, Yahoo, whatever. We're not talking about that. It's when you start putting personal documents and other things on your work computer that can get complicated. Something happens. You retire. Unwinding that. I know my wife works in technology for a school district here in town. And when teachers change jobs or leave or other professionals leave the district and they say, well, I got a bunch of my stuff on that computer. And it's like, that is school district property.
Oh, you
and,
bet.
You know, they are not responsible and do not have the time to remove your personal stuff from a work computer. And I think that's very important to remember. You want to keep that separate. You work emails are work emails. Personal emails are personal emails. And I think it's important to keep that line.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah, this is I've had more than one executive, especially. They get busy and they just send an email from their work email, or they just accept the email and forward it to their home email. And pretty soon there's this great big commingling of information, and you do want to keep them separate, especially if you're getting close to retirement, because you're going to want your personal information at home, and you're going to want to leave the business at the business where you're retiring from, even if you're going to be going back and doing some part-time consulting or whatnot. You'll still have access to that network if that's the call, and they'll be there. But for goodness sake, keep them separate. You just can't say it enough with this, Steve. This could turn into a hellish nightmare overnight.
Yeah, and it is definitely a can of worms. And if you're in that situation, start to unwind that when you can. You know, try to separate those emails. Get personal emails going to your personal email account. Try not to mix that up. And then as far as documents, etc., if you have personal documents on your work computer, before you start copying or making copies, let the IT department know what's going on.
Right.
That is another red flag when things started getting copied from a drive or moved to, say, a USB drive, etc., that'll show up. They'll see that. So you want to be very careful and tread lightly. By the way, the number on the program, 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226. We'll have an update on the weather and then more Tag Talk. Still plenty of time for you to get in on the program today. Once again, the sun is out, the rain has moved on, and it looks like the weather is going to be pretty nice, but an air quality alert moves into the area again tomorrow starting at 9 a.m. We'll have more on that in a moment here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. The rain has moved on, 80 degrees, southwest winds at 7 miles an hour. Our dew point still way up at 71. That will eventually fall. For this afternoon, sunny 83. Tonight, patchy fog, otherwise partly cloudy in 68. And then on Sunday, patchy fog before 7 a.m., otherwise sunny in 84. Monday, sunny 85. Tuesday, sunny 84. Wednesday, sunny and 84. An unbelievable run of weather. First mention of rain comes in Wednesday night and Thursday, and it's slight. And then a slight chance of rain by Friday and warmer. Highs Thursday and Friday in the upper 80s, but hardly any rain in our future. But the only bummer, an air quality alert goes into effect. So here we go again. Air quality alert in effect from 9 a.m. Sunday to 9 a.m. Tuesday. Minnesota Pollution Control Agency issued an air quality alert for fine particles pollution. And this really includes the entire area. And when you look at the map, and you can go to the Weather Service website, weather.gov, and see the map. And what it pretty much says is that we're going to see smoke. And the worst of the smoke appears to be in northern Minnesota, but still sensitive groups should be concerned here in the metro area and point south. It is 23 minutes now in front of 4. Tech Talk with Doug Swinhart continues in a moment. And by the way, if you want to be a part of the program, you're always welcome. And this number is good for all our shows here on the CCO. That is talk or text, 651-461-9226. Lindsey Brown is our producer on the program today. Following the news and weather at 4, we'll go outdoors with Steve Carney. And then we'll get you updated on the day in sports. Vikes, Texans, preseason football at U.S. Bank Stadium. Rumor is the big doors were open. And from what I could see on television, the people in the building are hot. I don't know why they didn't leave the doors closed and put the air on and give people a break, but I'm sure that'll be a talking point following the game as well. All right, Doug, let's get to those text lines. Outlook 2003, today I open and it closes. Cannot keep it open to work with. What could be the problem?
This is a laptop, did you say?
No, Outlook. They didn't say whether it was a laptop or desktop. Outlook 2003, they can't keep the program open.
Yeah, this is ugly. there's I would go open that thing up in safe mode, and I would export all the data out of there so fast it would scare you. This is it's beyond. It doesn't have enough space to breathe. And I've seen this, and I wish I had the exact reason, but the earlier versions of Outlook, this was pretty common. It's time. You might want to consider a different method. And you know, for a private individual, they could actually do almost everything online at Outlook.com. And I don't even think there's a charge for that. I've yet to be billed for it. So it's more emails based and how it's displayed. But it's got all the bells and whistles, same. Yeah, it's time to move away from 2003 Outlook. That's my advice.
Yeah, and you may need help with that because getting, and this is where people run into problems, I think, who have had Outlook. Maybe they had Outlook at work or they had it at work and then they had their personal contacts in there. You know, getting all those contacts out, getting the email history out, you may need help with that because it can get a little tricky. If you're going to move on to web-based email, which is something we've recommended for a long, long time.
Of course. Yeah, this is I agree. Yeah, this is something that you want to take serious because you don't want to lose any data. But it's time. And I don't think anybody can give me a good reason to have POP3 email compared to web-based or IMAP. There's just no reason for it. And it's playing with a violent end because sooner or later, it's going to get you. It just absolutely is. And there's no reason for it. Make your life simpler. Make it easier. You can get your mail from any machine, and the advantages so far outweigh the disadvantages that it's ridiculous to even think of anything else.
Yeah, and by the way, we'll have Doug's phone number and email if you want to give him a call and get some guidance on that. But it is one that you may want to get help on for sure. We brought up Prevazor earlier in the show, and I'm going to just spell it out here. Someone didn't hear it, and I know maybe it doesn't translate on the radio. PRIVAZER. Free program. You can buy the pro version. It is a tool that's really going to help Windows users. Free PC cleaner and privacy tool. And once again, very well-regarded. Once again, it's free, but you can get the pro version for $49. Pretty good deal.
No question. Yeah, you'll be glad you did. Absolutely.
Yeah. Here's another one. Pretty straightforward. Can motherboards be replaced? I would assume it's a lot easier in a desktop to swap out motherboards. Is it a do-it-yourself project?
If you're careful and you take your time and you don't get rattled and you're willing to do a little research, absolutely. And you're right. Desktop is much, much easier, not just for the room, but it's just easier to see everything. And there's probably, but just jump on Google and say, how to replace motherboard for such and such, and you will be amazed. There'll be several YouTubes that you can watch. Oh, yeah. I personally like to watch a YouTube and then go to something that's printed step by step if I need to, if I'm doing something technical. Is that way you can kind of keep track on another machine? It's there's so much information out there, especially in technical and with computers and the digital time. This is one advantage that we have. Yeah, I think it should be done. But at the same time, you don't want to be using your daily driver for this. If you're not 100% confident, do it on an older machine first. It will be great experience. You'll be glad that you did.
Yeah, in the do-it-yourself video, in our upstairs bathroom, we had the little exhaust fan in the ceiling go bad. So I got the model number, watched a couple of different YouTube videos, and took on the project earlier today. And I would say, overall, my language didn't move into the R-rated zone more than a couple of times.
Suitable for work. I like that.
Well, there were a couple of R-rated incidents for language, but it was because once I pulled the old fan out of the ceiling, the insulation above it came down and made a mess. So that, yeah. It wasn't all that complicated.
Well, and you know, this is it. You led me right here, Steve. We in Minnesota are the third state in the U.S. to pass right to repair. And what a boom that is for the state. I think that's the best thing that ever happened. You can now call these companies up and say, I'd like to have a service manual, not just a user manual. I would like to have a service manual. And 9 times out of 10 at this point, they're just going to email it to you in a PDF. And it also controls the price of parts. We've had microwaves that have gone bad and found out it was $1.67 for the transistor in the door. Oh, man. You know, and things like that is just, it's wonderful. Absolutely wonderful and you can thank our governor for that, Steve.
Well,
he pushed until we got that done. Mr. Walz, thank you.
Well, there is a key to all of this, and that is know your limits. There are certain things that I am not going to take on.
I agree.
And there are certain plumbing and electrical where you, without question, need a pro.
Hire somebody for that one.
But in this case, the new ceiling fan, I watched the videos and I'm like, I can do that. I think I can figure that one out. It is so. Once again, know your limits. Do a little research, and then it's like, yeah, I don't know if I'm going to be. And if you don't have the tools, the right tools for the job, et cetera,
exactly.
That's a big part of it. 3:45, 15 minutes now in front of 4 o'clock. We'll come back more with Doug in a moment, and we'll go right back to that text line. Once again, it is 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226, here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. It is Tech Talk, and all our shows are available in podcast form at the website, WCCO Tech Talk. Track them down, share them, we love it, and we invite you to join us Saturdays between 3 and 4, and of course, we are going to be at the fair. And we want you to come out and see us at the fair, starting with Vanita in the morning news, right through the afternoon, and drive time with Darasha. And some of our weekend shows will be at the fair during the Great Minnesota Get-Together. Less than 2 weeks away, a week from Thursday, the fair starts. Just crazy. Doug, this is really an important one, and this is Windows 10. A lot of people running Windows 10, and if you haven't heard the news, Windows 10 end of life, in air quotes, end of life, is October 14, 2025. After
this
date, Microsoft will no longer provide free security updates, feature updates, or technical support for Windows 10. Users can either upgrade to Windows 11 or enroll in the extended security update program for a fee or replace their device. There are some options here, Doug. For people in the time we have left, it's important. If you're running Windows 10, what do you need to keep in mind?
I don't think I'd get too worked up. But I would suggest if you have any issues at all, it's time to move to Windows 11. And you can use Microsoft if you want to. But I would also suggest that people just go to WindowsXLite.com. WINDOWS. X is in Xavier, LITE.com. You can download and install the light version, and it's a different ballgame. Your machine should run really well. But again, make absolutely certain, whether you're updating from Microsoft or Windows Lite or following a YouTube, get full copies of anything that's important on an external drive and up in the cloud. You just can't say it enough. We can replace hardware and software and operating systems all day long. What you can't replace is your data. Just make sure you take care of that, and you're good to go.
Yeah, and you've mentioned this before. You can give Microsoft some money and have the extended security update program, but you can continue to run Windows 10 after that date. I think it's important that you have a good antivirus, anti-malware program running. And Doug, at the moment, what do you recommend? If you had, what's your go-to?
Well, if I was going to have an expired version or end-of-life version of 10, I'd be using Bitdefender. And you don't have to get the big fancy one. I think it's like $30 a year. Absolutely, I would have Pervasor running. And I would go under the network, and I would just if you don't have a local area network and sharing files at home, I would take out Windows file sharing and print sharing, just uncheck it underneath your network connections. Almost, you're as close to being invisible on the internet as you can possibly be. Plus, you'd want to be a normal user, not an administrator. But this really isn't the issue it used to be. I think things are getting better. It looks to me like they are. So Don't get too excited. I just really wouldn't. And I'd also look into Linux as well. Now it might be time for you to have a dual boot. And, you know, I don't know if you heard this, Steve, but China came out with Harmony OS. I can't find a download for it yet, but I really want to play with that operating system. They're touting that you can have any phone, any laptop, any notebook, any desktop, and it's just going to install and run and coordinate with the rest of your devices. They're impressed with this. I wish we can get that. I don't think we can get it in this country yet. So things are happening in a positive way. Just stand by.
Yeah, so once again, back to Windows 10 real quickly. See if you can upgrade to 11. You could pay some extra money for those service updates.
Have you heard how much they're going to charge for that?
Yeah, I heard $100 for the extended.
Yeah, well, they've been all over the board with this. You know, they started out at 150, and then they went to 100, and I've seen it as low as $27. But you don't know if that's really Microsoft or not. So it's they got to get solid, and they got to come to a determination before we really could promote. That'd be my opinion.
Yeah, and there is a lot out there on this topic. But you don't have to do anything immediately. October 14th is just a date. I wouldn't be worried on October 15th that you're not going to be able to use your computer.
Exactly. It's not like Y2K, that's for sure.
Yeah. It's a long time ago.
Yeah.
I remember people running around buying generators and all sorts of things.
It came and went, and it was just a blink of an eye, and life went on.
Yeah. Can you believe that? Maybe it was hype to sell stuff. Can you imagine that?
Well, there were some systems that it may have dealt with, but they were big, and they were taken care of months and months and sometimes years ahead of time. That two-digit year. Well,
yeah, I remember, the grid's going to go down. You won't have water. Your car won't start. There was a lot of...
Make sure you get to the grocery store and stock up on Campbell's soup. Oh, yeah.
That's right. Make sure you have a 2-year supply of toilet paper and all of that. Doug, always good to visit with you. Always fun. How do people reach you during the week?
Thank you, Steve. 651-552-9543 and admin at wccotech.com. wccotech.com. 651-552-9543. And thank you so much, Steve, and have a great weekend.
Yeah, you as well, Doug. Always good to visit with you. It is Tech Talk, and don't forget about the podcast. It is available at wccoradio.com, WCCO Tech Talk, and we invite you to download it. And all our shows, a lot of good material, evergreen. And we have the news. We have the weather. We'll go outdoors with Steve Carney, get you up to date on what's going on in the world of sports. And we have the Twins and Royals, game 2 of the 3-game set coming up later today here on CCO.